Idaho Matters right now. I'm Gemma Gaudette. According to the Associated Press, since the start of the COVID-19 pandemic, experts have been warning of a mental health crisis that will face American children. Well, that crisis is now playing out. We are seeing increased depression, anxiety, panic attacks, eating disorders, and even suicidal ideations. This is all according to teachers, to administrators, to education officials, as well as mental health experts. Dr. David Peterman, who is the CEO of Primary Health and also a practicing pediatrician, is joining us today to talk more about this. Dr. Peterman, it's good to have you back on the program.
Well, thank you for having me, Gemma. And I think this issue is so important. I appreciate your having me so we can, as best as we can, inform parents, teachers, and for that matter, teenagers about this critical issue.
Mm-hmm. So, Dr. Peterman, you know, in Idaho in particular, I mean, even before the pandemic, we had a mental health crisis. So talk about that. Take us back to a little bit before 2 years ago when we were dealing with a mental health crisis here in our state.
Yes. So there are a number of elements that present as a crisis even pre-COVID. To begin with, it has been challenging to not only diagnose, but to treat children and adolescents with mental health problems. And the reason is we just don't have all the resources. That is, first of all, to diagnose, you have to have teachers and counselors and principals. And for that matter, parents have the ability to identify that their children or teenagers are having problems. And then the next step is you have to have counselors and other people who can help these children and treat them. And then there's the third problem, which is it hasn't always been that insurance covers the kind of counseling that is necessary. So there's been roadblocks. So you're absolutely correct. The issues with under-treatment, under-identification of mental health problems of children and adolescents was even present before COVID. And one other aspect of this, which is here in Idaho, unfortunately, we have a greater problem with suicide in the sense we're in the top 10 or top 15 almost yearly. And some of it certainly has to do with more firearms being available in Idaho. That is a state where many, many people have guns or rifles in the home. Unfortunately, it makes it easier to get a hold of these and obviously commit suicide.
So now here we have gone 2 years with the COVID-19 pandemic. As we know, schools shut down 2 years ago for many students. A lot of Idaho students spent the majority of last year online. And Dr. Peterman, we are now seeing the impact of a mental health crisis, even more than we saw before the pandemic. And it seems to me, anecdotally, that we're seeing younger and younger children having mental health issues now.
Yes. So, Gemma, if I could, let me give you, in a sense, some facts that recently came from the CDC, and then I'll, in a sense, kind of dial into specifics of our state and our children and my experiences as a pediatrician. So a study was done on 7,000 teenagers that occurred in the first 6 months of 2021, and this came from the CDC. And the results, frankly, were very, very concerning. Close to 50% of these teenagers identified themselves as feeling sad or hopeless in the previous 12 months. 20%, one-fifth, considered suicide. 10% actually had a suicide attempt. And there's some other aspects of this study which were in a sense, helpful. First of all, these problems are much higher in females than males. And again, I can come back and talk about that. And not surprisingly, higher in terms of children that are, in a sense, different, those with LGBT, and also much higher in Native Americans, which is an issue here in Idaho. And this maybe was one of the more shocking aspects of this. Again, these were kids who had been at home because of COVID. Over 50% identified emotional abuse from a parent at home. So those are just some facts. But if we think, when I treat children, and particularly teenagers, there are three aspects of sort of mental health that are important. How are things at home? How are things mm-hmm. with friends? And how are things with school? Those are the three parts of the three stool for children. And with COVID and distance learning, oh my goodness, all three of those parts were stressed. The kids weren't in school. They couldn't access their friends. And the third part, which is you have parents having to try and teach kids or help them with their homework. And at the same time, they had to do their own work. And this obviously led to stress. And so mm-hmm. that leads us to this current crisis. And we are seeing that in our pediatric and family practices offices here in Idaho, and certainly here at Primary Health. And I can tell you, I have practiced since 1980. Never have I seen what I have seen in the last 12 to 24 months, which is, frankly, these statistics are very consistent with my experience, which is close mm-hmm. to 50% of the teenagers have some sort of emotional issue. And also, as you've mentioned, I have identified a number of children under the age of 12 with anxiety, depression, very concerning symptoms.
So, Dr. Peterman, how do we then know as parents or caregivers when to potentially get our child help? Because there are also just normal teenage and tween emotions, right, that run the gamut. There are days where your kiddo is sad. I have a child who has anxiety, but had it way before the pandemic. So how do we know when we need to, when this is a true crisis and when this is regular teen or tween behavior? Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. And I would say, if we all had a book on how to raise teenagers,
I'd pay a lot of money for that.
Yeah, it would be a lot easier. So I just want to start with saying it's a challenge for all of us who have had teenagers, and none of us are perfect at it. The second would be, I try to put it in the context of, is your teenager able to function normally? And what I mean by that, if that teenager begins to, I'm not going to do basketball because I'm afraid kids are going to make fun of me, or no, I don't want to go to school because there's someone next to me that makes me frightened, or, previously I did really well in math and now I don't really care about it. I'm not really doing it. Those are fundamental changes which are different than normal functioning, and they're unique to each teenager. When that occurs, it's certainly appropriate for a parent to begin to ask questions. And again, all of us are familiar with asking our teenagers questions, and we either get a monosyllable response or no response. And mm-hmm. and at that time, it's reasonable to use the resources. So they could be a counselor at school. They could be a teacher at school. They certainly could be, in terms of those that go to church or synagogues or what have you, it could be a religious teacher or clergy. And then ultimately, always, whether it's a family practitioner, a nurse practitioner, or a pediatrician, absolutely to seek the advice of a healthcare professional.
And that, I think, is the key right there, right, Dr. Peterman, is that is it's okay to say you don't know as a caregiver or a parent. I probably contact my pediatrician about, what she probably thinks are silly concerns, but she answers my questions. We have conversation. And I think that that's part of it, is it's okay to say, I don't know how to do this.
No. You know what I say to the parents you know, when they say exactly what you say, I never worry about the mother or father or caregiver that asks me questions. I worry about the parent that doesn't ask. So, no, you absolutely should be asking questions. And again, this is something in which a teenager isn't necessarily going to come to a parent and say, I'm upset or I'm right. depressed. But what I have found in my own office, when you ask these questions, and what we do with it in our office is we do a simple screen for depression, frankly, on all teenagers, and we try to do it at least once a year. And as that screen unfolds, I'm always, I guess I shouldn't be surprised anymore, how honest teenagers are. And they do share with you their real feelings. You know, many of them, of course, are resistant to counseling. But again, when I talk to teenagers and the parents, we start with, well, let's at least try it. Let's at mm-hmm. least talk about some of these issues. Jim, I wanted to bring up something else, which goes on sort of both sides of this. It goes on the diagnosis side, and it also goes on the side with how can we help our teenagers. And I want to use one word, which is connected. And the point being, if you look at all, you know, the literature about particularly teenagers and mental health issues, it's that they don't feel connected. I don't have friends. I can't talk to my parents. I'm not on a team. I'm not very good. And so my point being here, we can help our teens by helping them to be connected, whether it's connected with their own family, where it's connected with activities outside of the home, or it's connected with some aspect of school. But it's that connectiveness which is very, very important. And I would simply say COVID was the worst for that. It took connectedness right. away. And I might also add, we as adults needed that connectivity during COVID, and we lost it.
Well, and I think too, it's, you know, in that time of COVID where so many families just had such added stress, right? And so here may be a teenager or a tween who is feeling this disconnectedness, and maybe they have been connected to their parents, but the parents or the caregivers are so stressed or have gotten sick, right? And they weren't in the home. I mean, I think that it's just a snowball effect, what happened to children and to teens, Dr. Peterman. And then you have children who are now dealing with the loss of a primary caregiver. I mean, what our youth have been through, no wonder we're seeing the crisis that we're seeing.
Yeah, you bring up two very important points. The first point is, there are literally tens of thousands of children in the United States and thousands here in Idaho in which, as you said, a parent, a grandparent, a friend, an aunt, an uncle, someone has died. And that's because of COVID. And that mm-hmm. is, you know, something that we have to deal with that loss. And then, of course, the anxiety dealing with that in terms of a teenager, what does that mean about me, in a sense? So you bring up a very important point. The second I wanted to bring up with, which is in that same concept of connectedness, what we see is those children that, in a sense, quote, might not fit in. And if I want to bring up a special issue here, which is what was identified in this study. First of all, this is more apparent in girls than boys. And I've had boys and they're older now, so I can't relate to this. But at least in my practice, it is very evident that in certain circumstances, particularly with social media, teenage girls can be very difficult with each other. And so I bring that special issue up because whether it's clothes or how I look or whether I'm too thin or I weigh too much, we should be very sensitive to these issues, particularly as young women. And it was even identified in one of the studies, an incredible skyrocketing of young girls showing up in the emergency room with eating disorders. So I bring that one point up. The second I want to bring up, which is particular to Idaho, and again, I'm not interested in the politics here. I'm in the interested in the health of our children. But children that don't fit in or don't feel connected are the ones that are going to have the biggest issues, the greatest anxieties. And I use the example of, say, the 11-year-old boy who maybe likes long hair, maybe likes wearing really colorful clothes, doesn't like sports. That young boy may have questions about his own identity and where he fits in. And the same token, there may be a 12-year-old girl who doesn't like dresses, who likes short hair, who doesn't like jewelry, wears dark clothes. Again, she may be having issues about identity and where she fits in. And I'm just going to bring this up, where we have a legislature which brings up a law that criminalizes gender-affirming treatment, where a doctor may be just trying to help a young teenager sort out, in a sense, how they fit in, and somehow we would bring up a law and make this criminalizing. That is very threatening. And again, I'm not interested in the politics. I'm just simply saying, if you're a teenager and you are questioning where you fit in, and now suddenly we have a law that criminalizes trying to understand gender issues, that is very threatening. Mm-hmm. And again, I'm not interested in the politics, but I feel very comfortable as a pediatrician in saying this recent action that we had has ramifications. And frankly, I saw that in my office.
Well, I'm interested in keeping children alive, as are you, Dr. Peterman.
And, yeah, absolutely.
And laws like that do not do that. I want to thank you so much for your time today and talking with us about this. It is so important that we have this conversation and that hopefully we can somehow have conversations with our children about this as well. Big thank you to Dr. David Peterman. He is the CEO of Primary Health Group as well as a pediatrician. We've been talking about a study out by the CDC about the mental health crisis facing teens and tweens during COVID-19. Dr. Peterman, again, thank you for your time.
Well, and thank you, Gemma. I really want to thank you for bringing up this difficult issue. And I want to just add on to this. We can help these kids. And so I want to end on a positive note that as adults, parents, teachers, we can support these kids. And again, if we think in terms of connecting with them, communicating with them, we can help them.
Absolutely. Coming up tomorrow, join us for our spring fun drive. I will be on the air bright and early live with the lovely George Prentice, asking for your help to keep us on the air for another year. So hopefully you can join us tomorrow for that. Again, a big thank you to Dr. David Peterman, and also a thank you to all of you, our listeners. We wouldn't be here without you. Our senior producer is Samantha Wright. Our assistant producer is Hannah Gardosky. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you back here tomorrow.